I'm here with Sid at Edinburgh Fringe. It starts in a couple of days' time. That's a really good American accent, Sid.
Yeah, I've been working on it for about 28 years.
Where are you from?
I live in San Francisco now.
Okay. Yeah. And so what brings you to Edinburgh that's good?
My show.
Yeah.
Should I say more than that?
Oh, yeah. Give me the story behind that. What's brought you here?
I think this is the best place to get better at comedy. Every single day you do your hour in front of a brand new audience, and every day is a new fun challenge, and I love stand-up, so why wouldn't I do it as much as possible?
How did it all begin?
Luck. I've been doing stand-up for 8 years, but 5 years ago I was doing I was booked on a terrible show in New York City, as was this Australian comedian, Aaron Melville, whose fiance, Dan Willis, does 5 shows a day at the Fringe, and he booked an extra 6th show, didn't want it, so he gave it to Aaron. Aaron couldn't fill the hour, so she booked her friend to fill the last 30 minutes. That friend dropped out in the last minute. Aaron, panicking, gave me a shot. I flew over here without any idea what I was doing, and did well enough that now Alex Petty gives me my own hour show every year. So that's what I think.
Is this something you've always wanted to do?
Stand-up comedy? I've always liked comedy, and I'm good at this, so I do it.
I guess a lot of people, when they tell their parents that's what they're going to do, they try and redirect them into other professions.
Right. So my parents always wanted me to be a doctor because I'm Indian and that's how that works. And in order to soften the blow, I told them I would be a lawyer, not thinking I would ever actually have to deal with that, and then slowly transition into a comedian. But now I'm in law school, and it's going all right. I can't complain. I'm in my last year, so.
So is law the hobby or stand-up comedy?
Whichever one pays more at the time.
Well, we know the answer to that, don't we?
You know, you'd be surprised. San Francisco is a very interesting comedy city because it is a very bad comedy city in terms of talent. There's like maybe a few really, really good comedians and just a lot of people priced out, unfortunately, of such an expensive city. In fact, by being in law school, I can afford to live in San Francisco by living in a law school dormitory. And there's a lot of private gigs. There's a lot of companies there that want to have comedians for their office parties and stuff. And weirdly, you can make a not terrible living doing that.
I mean, I guess stand-up comedy would serve you well as a lawyer.
You would think so. It totally doesn't. I remember I was in court for something called moot court, which is like it's like a team sport for lawyers. And one of the judges was like, okay, don't tell any jokes during this. And I still snuck in a Louis C.K. joke that I did not realize was in there. But, I think you'd be surprised at how little it helps. So improv comedy, I find, helps with being a lawyer much more.
So what happens to you if you're in law? Do you find it easy to kind of, you know, shut that in a cupboard somewhere and lock the door called stand-up comedy? I mean, you're having to push it all down.
Okay, I understood like four of the words you said.
Good. Yeah, are you having to push that away, the stand-up comedy side of you, if you're practicing law?
I don't really have time to push it away because I do stand up every night. So when I'm in law, I'm able to focus on law knowing that I'll be able to do the stand up part of it later.
But what do you do if a kind of funny line comes up inside your head? Are you kind of having to shove that away?
Yes, you shove it away because you're trying not to get yelled at by your boss, who will yell at you, because law is basically frat bros with books.
And where does your material come from?
Well, Paul and Peter have been writing it for me for a long time, and I just
say who they are.
No, I just write about my life and my experiences and my opinions. If I have an opinion on something, I'll talk about it on stage. I think New York taught me how to do that. So.
And who's Paul and Peter?
I was just making a joke about. Okay. Yeah.
I just wondered. There's so many people around here. But do you write it down? You know, do you learn it like a script? Are you improvising?
I used to write down everything word for word, and I would just have pages and pages of jokes, and then. I just started getting more confidence in sort of walking around with an idea, going on stage and working it out until it's where I want it to be.
And in terms of comedy material, what's the mix of San Francisco, USA, and India?
I'm sorry, what?
What's the mix of stand-up in terms of your material? Are you drawing on India? Are you drawing on USA?
I would say almost all USA, but my parents are Indian, so I grew up as an Indian American, so there's a bit of that, but I'm never going to do an accent. I'll never be doing an Indian accent in my show. And I'll never be the kind of comic who just goes, my uncle talks like this, but I talk like this. I'm not interested in that. So I try to be more cutting edge with what I have to offer.
Is America a more dark and serious place since Trump arrived?
Yes. It's a lot harder to be a political comedian because you can see the audience getting exhausted just from the start of it. They're inundated with people making fun of Trump in their everyday lives to the point where I don't see the point in doing a bit about it on stage unless you have a really good bit. Like, my hour show doesn't have any Trump jokes because Trump sucks. There really isn't a lot of nuance there.
So in terms of new material, you know, how do you collect new material for your show?
You just live your life, you know? My closer this year is about the time I tried DMT this year, and I discussed that at length. I talk about realizing, you know, my little brother just went to college, and he's a lot more liberal than I am, and I consider myself very liberal, so I discussed that at length. And it just flows from that. I went to my high school reunion. I discussed what that was like. And I just try to keep it personal and to myself because if people are going to come watch my show, I want to give them a unique experience, and there's nothing more unique than my own experiences.
And if on a particular night one bit doesn't work, do you drop it or do you stay with it?
Oh, I'm a huge asshole. Are you kidding me? Like, if my bit doesn't work, it's the audience's fault, unless it doesn't work many times in a row. Then it maybe it's my fault. But especially, you know, I get the opportunity where I've been doing shows here in the UK now for the last 5 years. I do it all over the States, and I've even started doing some gigs in Asia. And so I know that sometimes a joke just isn't for that country or city or whatever, but sometimes two or three people in that city will laugh at it anyway, and it's kind of like that joke was for them, and it's fine.
How do you deal with heckles?
I just start crying. You know, that tends to get solved the problem. You know, I just end the show immediately, which helps. I try to make it very clear that there is no reason to heckle me ever. And as long as you're very clear, it's like, why are you doing this? Are you having fun? They're probably not. Most people heckle because they feel awkward and they just need to break the silence. And as long as you address it very quickly, you can go right back to your show. I would never try to be super mean to a heckler because I feel like they're having a bad time. So let me not make it worse for them.
Do you find yourself funny?
Yes. It's one of the few talents that I have. So I would consider myself funny.
I mean, do you laugh at yourself? Do you have your corpse on stage?
On stage, I try not to because I feel like my stand-up upbringing was very clear in that you should not do that as often as possible, but it happens occasionally. When I do improv, for example, my main goal is to try to get the other person on stage with me to laugh. So that's the fun of it.
If you become a lawyer and very rich, are you going to stop doing this, or do you think you'll always do stand-up comedy as well?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, so this is my third year in law school, and what's been very fun has been finding ways to blend the two together. So, for example, the law side of it has allowed me to find out about more charities and nonprofits that need funding, and being able to do fundraising gigs using the comedy side of it has been a really nice way to blend both of those things. If I made a ton of money as a lawyer, I would kill myself. But if I didn't, then I would be able to put it back into the arts, you know? My law gigs helped pay for the flight over here, for example. So, stuff like that.
Do your family find you funny?
Not as funny as they find themselves. So, there's that. Yeah. I think both my parents are considered pretty funny in their friend circles and stuff, so they're not. But they like that I do it as a hobby.
Who are some of your favorite comedians?
I love Bill Burr. I know this is controversial. I love Kurt Metzger as a comedian, and he's always been very nice to me. But I just think those guys, when they come on stage, they have these premises that immediately the audience is against them. You know what I mean? The audience does not agree with the premise they have given. And then they find a way to make the audience laugh anyway. And that, to me, is magical. Like, that is why I love stand-up comedy. And those two are the best in the game at that particular aspect of it.
Final part of this interview. I want you to imagine I've got a gun to your head. Okay. And I'm going to fire it if you talk PR. So what's your invitation to people to come and see your show?
Shoot me! Oh, no. Come watch my show, because what are you, a fucking comedy expert? No, you're not. You're a fucking person looking to see comedy. That's why you're listening to this interview right now, you dummy. So come see my show.
Thanks very much indeed.
Thank you. Yeah.